Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Left you hanging, huh?
Help me! Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Janae Agumake. My help finally arrives, Janae. If no one else is going to hold me down on this show, I know at least above all else I can count on you to come in here and have my back.
And we're matching, which I love. But yeah, the whole Jack Nicholson type of thing. Yeah, I wouldn't have been able to help you. I'd have been like, cultural. Yeah, that's you.
I mean, listen, that's a fair point in that. And I should have had that one dialed up.
You should have known.
I should have known. And I blame myself on that. But on this show, we are about being great teammates, right? Like, this is the way we get down around here. And so I'm staring at my teammates yesterday and Cliff and Billy, and they're just giving me nothing back around here, Janae. Like, Cliff, you guys literally looked at me and just decided, no, you were going to let me drown there.
I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say. I wasn't sure if I was going to be right or not. Sorry, bro. Sometimes it just happens.
He said, sorry, bro.
He said, I wish you well. Now, Janae, I want to get to plenty with you. You're fresh off practice yet again. You got through media day yesterday with the LA Sparks. So hopefully you have had to talk and stand and do TikTok dances a lot less today.
Yeah, way less, which is nice. Like, it was fun for a one day type of thing, but like, I'm too grown for the TikToks. Like, that takes a lot of coordination. We actually, what do you call it? Freestyled it, NECA and I. NECA went harder than me, which I'm sort of mad at. Looking back at it, I was like, oh, I could have really like looked back at it harder. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, times are getting back to normal with back to the court, because we're exactly, we're a week away from something big, Junior. My film, ESPN Films 144, airs in a week, which is exciting as well on the WNBA.
All right, there we go. So I'm going to say, for anyone that's not been aware, Janae Agumake, executive producing 144, ESPN Films first documentary about the WNBA and life in the bubble last year. If you're watching on ESPN Plus, you are seeing our girl out here on these TikTok streets getting after it with Necker, her sister.
Oh, my gosh.
They slow-mo that?
Oh, my gosh. They slow-mo'd. Necker's twerk, which, by the way, our show, when we started, we were like the heaviest ratio for twerk on our show.
Yeah.
And so this is just on brand. Yo, I cannot believe they slow-mo'd it. It's amazing.
Ooh, you know what I'm going to say?
Oh, my God.
This is Janae Angola Jr. After Dark now. Like, we usually save that for the radio-only segments that we've gotten around here. But that video, you're right, extremely on brand given the show. Now, Janae Angola Jr. will be very on brand in about 10 minutes as we get back to all the conversation around Aaron Rodgers. We'll play a little best-case scenario, worst-case scenario with the Packers star quarterback. But, Janae, we got some pretty important news from the world of the NBA not too long ago. I saw Christian Winfield, Malika Andrews, and a lot of other great reporters covering the Nets tweeting out James Harden feeling confident that he's going to get to return and play some games before they get their playoff run started. We know he had that setback with the hamstring, Janae. So how important is that he gets back for any amount of these regular season games?
I'm 50-50. It's good because it'll be nice to get the regular season games in before the postseason. But realistically, the first round for the Brooklyn Nets could feel like regular season games for them based on how talented they are as a roster. And so James, I think, is just saying that, hey, here's a reminder. I know a lot of people are talking about the Milwaukee Bucks and how they beat us twice, but I'm still out here and I'm ready and I'm excited. And I think that's the reminder that Brooklyn always will dangle in front of people, like, oh, that's all cute. And I know everyone's talking about seven games, seven, a divine number that we've been able to play together. But the reality is we ready. Like, they're ready.
They are ready, and James Harden made no bones about that. The Nets star guard at their presser said that he believes the Nets have something that these other teams don't. We'll let you hear the answer straight from him.
As much as I love the hoop, like, I want to be out there. I want to be out there, but you got to be smart. And for me, it was just, all right, let's knock this thing out. Let's get this thing healthy so we can make a push. One of the things that a lot of teams don't have is talent. You know, so we don't have to worry about that aspect, but skill wise, we're elite. So I'm not worried at all. It's going to be very, very difficult for teams to beat us.
Boy, oh boy. I mean, forget saying the quiet thing loud. He just said it loud, period, on that one, Janae. How is that going to be received? Because for all the talk, everyone's understood exactly what the Nets are, but James Harden coming off of plenty of time missed by injury, acting that sure of everything going here, like, I'd have to imagine some folks in Philadelphia and Milwaukee are taking notice of that.
Look, if I heard that and I'm on an opposing team that's going to play Brooklyn in the playoffs, I'm playing that on loop for my team. One thing that most teams don't have is talent. Like, that's the last thing you want to tell your opponent. And I don't think he meant ill will on people. It just is a reality, a fact of life. They're more talented than any other roster in the NBA, you know, when they're all able to be out there. So he is speaking facts. But the reality is, Junior, that, like, when other people hear those facts, it creates a storm of probably potential motivation for them to feel like, oh, like, everyone's going to count us out. Everyone thinks that they're going to already win it. And he thinks we don't have talent. Like, that, if I'm an athlete, which I am currently, and I heard my opponent say something like that, I'm like, okay, bet. Got you. Heard you.
It seems amazing, but then I look up and I remember he's right. Like, they're at second place in the Eastern Conference with all this turnover and turmoil that we've talked about over the course of this entire season. Their stars playing seven games together and all that stuff. Like, this has always been the threat. This is why I've said time and time again, I'm sort of afraid to doubt this team because they have a level of talent we haven't seen amassed like this that could make us look bad in a hurry. But Chiney, looking on down the list here of teams as we get to closer and closer, the end of the season, the Eastern Conference playoffs, of Milwaukee, of the 76ers, I mean, hell, the New York Knicks still sitting around there at four. Ultimately, we saw the Bucks give them two games, take two wins from them in a big way. Have the Buccaneers supplanted the 76ers as their biggest challenger in the East?
I think that they have not just yet. Now, while Milwaukee has done a lot of great things so far this season, put themselves out there, been more vulnerable defensively, offensively, risking it all, getting Jrue Holiday and seeing that pay off. They've done a lot of really good things, Junior. But the reality is, in the playoffs, defense is what matters most. And this team, the Milwaukee Buccaneers, Bucks, is it Bucks? Like, are they Bucks? Yeah.
Yeah, they're the Milwaukee Bucks like a deer, not like not like a Buccaneer. You thought they were like the Tampa Bay Bucks.
No, you said Buccaneers and you got me all out of whack.
When did I say Buccaneers?
run the tape.
We can run the tape. I can run assure you, I know those are deers.
I know they're deers too, but when you said that, I was like, hold up, Tampa Bay? Like, what are we doing here?
Did I say we're going to have to go back and find this.
He said Milwaukee Buccaneers, 100%.
Nah, Tanae, you're definitely dead wrong. You're trying to catch yourself.
No. Ooh, I can't Buccaneers. Wait for this.
You know what? Allow me to don this blue hat.
Okay, first of all.
In honor of my friend Chiney Agumike, who is out here capping like it is her job right now.
Oh, no. We can run the sound back. I can't wait. How much money are we about to put on this? But look, let me just get to my answer. I love the Philadelphia 76ers. This is a team that I think can win the championship this year. Like, I'm serious. I think the Philadelphia 76ers can win the championship this year. They have been able to play defense against a variety of teams, and they know that that is their number one strength. So when the playoff slows down, I like this squad. You've got Joel Embiid playing at a high level, MVP caliber. Ben Simmons holding it down, defensive player of the year. A number of role players. Tobias Harris having his best year ever. Yeah, Cliff. Seth Curry coming in and starting more than he has ever before. They have sort of found their stride. Championship caliber with Danny Green and that experience from last year carrying over to this year. Doc Rivers doing his thing in his first year after that crazy transition from the Clippers. This is a team that is built to succeed in the playoffs, the Philadelphia 76ers. I do not want to count them out this year because they've had continuity and they also have the talent, and that combination probably will pay off this year more than ever before. Now, I hope everyone's going back to the start of that question so I can make myself some money. Like, I know what I heard.
All right, listen, coming up next, we will see if it is cap or not from Chiney Agumike accusing me of calling them the Milwaukee Buccaneers. We're brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driffin'. And while we're in the state of Wisconsin, we will also
more
give you...
More driffin'?
Listen, it has been a tough day, and now I'm rattled at the thought of calling them the Milwaukee Buccaneers, something I would never do because I'm a professional. I will go to the other team in Wisconsin. I will go to the Green Bay Packers, and we'll lay out the best case, worst case scenario for what is about to happen with our star quarterback, Aaron Rodgers.
Give me my money.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We saw the Bucks give them two games, take two wins from them in a big way. Have the Buccaneers supplanted the 76ers as their biggest challenger in the East? Oh, my God. I can't believe it really happened. Chinay Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr., Chinay Agwumike. Ultimately, we saw the Bucks give them two games, take two wins from them in a big way. Have the Buccaneers supplanted the 76ers as their biggest challenger in the East? Hey, for anyone that missed it, we were talking about the Eastern Conference setup, talking about the Brooklyn Nets and their confidence, and I was sure that Chinay Agwumike, who then later brought up the Milwaukee Buccaneers, wondering if Bucks was short for Buccaneers like Tampa Bay, I thought for sure she was the one that made the mistake. How am I so firmly, deeply ingrained and stupid that I could not remember saying that mere seconds before, Cliff?
And why am I dumb enough to believe what you said, too?
Thank you. That's all of y'all. Thing. None of y'all have my back. Everyone was like, oh, she's crazy.
I pulled the audio for you. I had your back.
Thank you. After you didn't have my back at the moment, but I'll give you that. Junior, it's time for you to take your cap off, because I was not capping.
I was going
to
say, I did don this blue cap in honor of what I thought was an out-and-out lie. I'll take it off. By the way, it's nice to know, at Chinay and at Mike Golick Jr., that you guys are listening when it comes to reminding me of something dumb that I have said, because we got about 51 tweets in the last 5 minutes reminding me that I don't know how to use words right. Like, my mentors in radio were my dad and Stu Gotts. Do you think I have a chance of speaking well? Probably not.
May the odds ever be in your favor, but I'm just glad that I was right, because I was like, because after you said that, you asked me the question, and there was probably like a pregnant pause, as they like to say. It was about like 10 seconds of me like, hold on, what? But it's all good. I appreciate content.
I appreciate, Chinay, that you are so kind and trusting, that there was a part of you that thought, well, maybe is it short for Buccaneers?
I was
this entire
genuinely
time?
Confused.
Genuine confusion. I apologize for my misspeak. I apologize even more for what we've got to do next, because Green Bay has raised absolute hell. This story about Aaron Rodgers isn't going away, and so we've got to scenario this thing out.
Breaking news and Aaron Rodgers' situation overshadowing the NFL draft. ESPN's Adam Schefter reports the Packers' star quarterback has told the team he doesn't want to return to Green Bay. The Packers have made it known they have no plans to trade him.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com. So, Chinay, Jason Fitz came over and sat with me for a little while you were still at practice, and he and I talked about what happens, how this ends, and what the best and worst case scenarios look like for Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. And I want to get your opinion on this, because this all ultimately comes down to whether or not Aaron Rodgers likely would actually sit out games. So I'm going to give you two scenarios, and I want you to tell me which one you think is worse.
Okay.
The first scenario is the Green Bay Packers give Aaron Rodgers what they want. Let's say they trade him to the Denver Broncos, the team we all think is perfect. Denver goes on and makes it to a Super Bowl in the next season. The Green Bay Packers go out here, and we can say they have an okay season with Jordan Love at the helm. Or the Green Bay Packers don't trade Aaron Rodgers. They dig their heels in, and Aaron Rodgers decides, bleep you guys, I'm going to sit down at the start of the season. I'm not playing in these games. And Jordan Love goes out there and bombs in that spot. Which of those two scenarios do you think is the actual worst-case scenario for Green Bay?
Oh, yeah, losing Rodgers and having Jordan Love not do well. Like, that's the worst-case scenario, right?
I completely agree, Chinay, because in one of those scenarios, you get a treasure chest full of picks and potentially players back in exchange for the reigning MVP of the league. Like, Bill Barnwell's got a great piece, our ESPN football writer on ESPN.com and ESPN Plus, talking about the potential packages. And, Chinay, we're talking potentially multiple first-round picks, sometimes starting players. It just seems like that would be too good to pass up to let ego get in the way of what's got to get done.
That's exactly what I was about to say. You've got to put your pride to the side and see the situation that you're dealing with in real time with Aaron Rodgers. It might hurt the same way New England Patriots fans, it might hurt them to have seen Tom Brady win a Super Bowl his first year away. Yeah, Packers fans, that's a potential reality if he suits up in Denver. The better reality is that you actually get value back and you're not disgruntled and hamstringing yourself by not doing anything. Inactivity is the worst version of anything in pro sports. So, like, I think putting your pride to the side, realizing that this guy is talented, but also he may not be destined for the Packers, it's okay. Like, this happens in sports. We see it happen all the time. And to get the value back, as you mentioned, Junior – That to me is the number one priority here, so that you can actually move forward as a franchise instead of being stuck on pause or in that liminal space.
And pride is at the center of all of this, Chinee. And I want to play a sound from your fellow Stanford alum, Richard Sherman, who was on First Take earlier. Before I give you the best and worst case scenarios for both, because to give you an idea of how deep this runs, this is the perception of someone who's on the outside of all this. Richard Sherman was not a teammate of Aaron Rodgers. He wasn't on the inside. But this is what one of the other great players in the NFL thinks of this situation.
He's been getting disrespected by Green Bay for a while. You know, I mean, he's got a fantastic, probably one of the best receivers in football and will be for a long time in Devontae Adams. They don't give him much else. They got a running game. They got great running backs, but outside of that, he's looking for a true number two receiver, and you know he's done it with whatever they've given him. But it's not like you've seen, hey, man, the Packers have taken two first-round receivers and two first-round O-linemen, and they're really trying to get A-Rod what he needs, or they've taken a huge free agency signing and gave him somebody else special.
And Chinee, if that's the sentiment of the outside, that's an understanding of, all right, people perceive it as this way. We can only imagine what's going on behind closed doors. So best and worst case scenario, because this is going to be something I have a feeling that dominates our entire offseason, unfortunately.
Yeah, so for me, best case scenario, is that what you're asking?
Best case scenario.
Part ways with Aaron Rodgers, get a ton of value back for the Packers to move forward. Aaron Rodgers gets to play in a system where he could potentially get himself back to a Super Bowl now with the weapons that the Broncos have, plus that defense. And so, like, it's not horrible for either party. And I think that's the best thing. Like, it's making the most – I think people get in trouble, Junior, when people try to punish people for making decisions that benefit themselves. Like, Aaron Rodgers is trying to make a decision that benefits himself. And I think in sports, when you have the power, people sometimes want to punish that quality instead of seeing the long-term view of maybe we get the value back and build a foundation so that we will be more sustainable than what we're experiencing now with his so-so nature of whether he wants to be a part of the team.
Completely agree, Chinee. The hay is already out of the barn on this relationship. You can either maximize the value at this point or try to cut off your nose to spite your face and end up hurting what you can get back long-term for a quarterback of this caliber. So we'll have plenty more time in the coming weeks,
yes,
I'd imagine, to work through Aaron Rodgers' best and worst case scenarios. But what happens if Aaron Rodgers sits? And what do we have to look forward to from the rest of the NFL offseason coming up? We'll talk to Diana Russini next here after this word from Angie. Now, we all know there's a lot of pride that comes with having your own home. It's where you entertain family and friends. It's the biggest investment you'll ever make. It's the place you make your own. It's also a lot of work. Angie's on a mission to help you love your home by taking on all the projects that come along with it. Angie takes all the help you could possibly need for your home and puts it right in the palm of your hand. When you download the Angie app, you can find a professional to fix an emergency leak right when you need it. Planning a renovation? Angie matches you with the best contractor for the job. You can even schedule seasonal maintenance so it's all on autopilot. Plus, you can see clear upfront pricing on hundreds of projects so you know what you'll pay all ahead of time. You can even pay your pro securely right through the app. Handling your home has never been this straightforward. But now we have Angie, your home for everything home. Download it today. Back after this here on Chinee and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chinee and Golic Jr., the podcast.
What can the Packers do to change his mind and convince him to stay?
Probably is too late. When you're in a situation and you want a certain level of respect and they're not giving it back to you, you feel a certain way.
Everyone's feeling some type of way. In about 10 minutes, we'll get to why everyone might be feeling some type of way about the Olympics pretty soon. The big kick me sign that they put on their own back. Chinee and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chinee Agwumike. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And before we get to the news and notes around the NFL with our friend and ESPN NFL reporter Diana Russini, who joins us now on the Goodyear Hotline. Diana, Chinee and I have been talking today. Everyone saw what happened last night in the Rangers and Caps game, about 141 penalty minutes because of that Tom Wilson dirty play from the other day. And it got us to talking about how hard it is to have to constantly go to bat for the fight friend in your group of friends. And it made me wonder, and so I wanted to ask you, Diana, because you're someone who spent a fair amount of time down at the Jersey Shore. I feel like this might be up your alley. Did you have a fight friend that you had to account for, or were you the fight friend?
I don't think you guys have ever asked a question that is more relatable and that I feel very comfortable discussing than this one. This is better than any football thing you've ever asked me. You know, I've grown up a little, but I think in my, I'd say in my 20s, I was definitely the fight friend. I love confrontation. It doesn't scare me. In fact, I used to look for it, I think. Not think, I did. The worst person in the group isn't the fighter, isn't the person that's always looking for the fight, in my opinion. The worst person in the group is the instigator of the fight that doesn't like to fight. So that was like one of my best friends growing up. She was the queen of finding trouble, but would run away. And then I would be in the middle of a situation and just looking around for her thinking, how did this even start? We just got tossed from this place because of you, and you're in the corner talking to a guy like it never happened. So I would say now I'm a little older, and I don't really visit those places. I keep most of the fighting to the airport.
You know what? That's, I would say, fair. That's certainly a place that's going to bring it out of people. But, Diana, I want to, like, bestow on you. You're an honorary offensive lineman because the friend you just described, the instigator, is every backup quarterback I ever played with who would get into a fight in a bar and ask us to handle things. So you are naturally the protector here. I would trust you on my team in the fight, Diana.
Thank you, Mike. You know, and it's not one of these, it's like, it's not a badge of honor to be a fighter. I used to think it was cooler than it is now that I'm older, but I think it's great to have somebody in your life that isn't scared to throw down a little, because you never know when you're going to be in a position like that, in a situation. So I feel like you and I would be fine in an environment like that. In fact, we would probably start fighting each other because we would just try to throw punches at some point. But today, you don't really seem like somebody that would be as aggressive as Mike and I.
Yeah, I might be the instigator and then let my big sis really come through and handle the business. I'm so sorry.
Exactly.
Diana.
Not with a face like that, you better not throw anything.
Girl, I'm right behind you, girl. Diana Rossini, ESPN NFL reporter, joining us here on Shanae and Golic Jr. And it's so funny thinking about fights because we're seeing a very interesting fight go down in Green Bay. And so what's the latest, Diana, with Aaron Rodgers and the situation, I guess, currently as it stands?
Yeah, so we're at a point now where we're going to probably speculate and talk about this for the next 3 to 4 weeks, because from a business perspective on all of this, June 1st would be the smartest day, so to speak, or at least the days after June 1st. If the Green Bay Packers were going to move on from Aaron Rodgers, they're going to do it after June 1, because essentially they'd save about $16 million against their salary cap. So they're not going to move him now, nor do they want to. They do not want to do this at all. The best way to compare it, it's really, we all have those friends who are in a relationship and one wants to get counseling and the other just doesn't. They just want out. And we kind of know how that usually ends, right? Like there's usually a divorce or a breakup. That's sort of how this feels. It just feels like one side really wants to work on this and the other is like, I'm done. I'm over this.
So
we're really at a point right now. Go ahead.
Well, no, I was going to say, Diana, if we're at that point with this situation with the Packers, and it seems like that we've had the hay kind of leave the barn on that relationship, I wanted to ask you about another situation, because the 49ers were the team I offered up as a comparison with the way their front office has communicated with Jimmy Garoppolo, even with bringing in Trey Lance. How have you seen and assessed the 49ers and the handling of their situation in comparison to this?
Well, I think what the 49ers have done well is communicate, and it seems that there's obviously been a disconnect, and you know, Adam Schefter's been all over the story, and a lot of his reporting is in line with some of the things that I have heard. Of course, Adam's right, he does not miss, but a lot of things that I've been hearing as well is this is more than just contract, this is more than Jordan Love. There's a lot of pieces to this, and you look at the Niners guys and you know, you see what they're doing now. They try to kill off Jimmy, you know, in a funny way. Obviously, they didn't do that. They have him on the roster. And look, Jimmy's going to probably still be open to get moved during training camp, during this season. He's a type of piece that I think, you know, like we saw with Sam Bradford that one year, where, you know, a quarterback gets injured and then you can make the trade. But at this point, I think what the Niners are doing is fantastic. All the pressure going into the draft, or let's just say the day after the draft, has been on Trey Lance. We know what San Francisco did to get a quarterback. They traded a lot to move up. And now what they've done, they've taken the pressure off. We're okay if he doesn't start. We're okay if he doesn't play. The owner says, we don't care if we sit him for 2 years. And Jed York could have said 19 years. It doesn't matter. It's obvious there's a script in San Francisco right now, and that's, let's take the pressure off this young rookie, and we're going to just get him, you know, beat him up, get him comfortable in this offense, get him comfortable playing the NFL, no pressure. So I commend what San Francisco is doing now, when I thought maybe 2 weeks ago it felt a little messy with what they went there.
Diana Russini joining us here on Shenangle Jr. We don't have much time, Diana, but you talked about no pressure, and it's funny because that applies maybe for the 49ers right now, but we have something big coming up, Mother's Day. And for us women, and I know this is you, for the first time as a married woman, you're approaching the holiday. How are you handling that type of pressure?
So in my family, Mother's Day is considered to be the holiday. Most normal families, it's like Christmas, Thanksgiving. And it's not because we actually want it to be the holiday. It's just this kind of what my mom has forced upon us. So this has been a week of just fights. We talked about fights when I started chatting with you. The group text between my siblings and my in-laws right now, it's like it is a war. Because how do you see all the people in your life that are mothers when really the day is about recognizing your own, right? But then you know, I have sisters and sister-in-laws who are mothers as well, and I would like to recognize them as well. So it's become this just, and I think a lot of families can understand this, and I think a lot of people go through this, of what's the right thing to do on Mother's Day? Oh, yeah, and then we have grandmothers in there as well. So my stress level is pretty high right now, and I'm hoping that this holiday just comes and goes.
I'm also hoping that this segment is not a reminder for anyone listening right now that Mother's Day is coming up, because if it is, and it's already Thursday of this week, you might now be even more stressed than Diana is. Check out Diana at Diana ESPN on Twitter, where you can read about more of this Mother's Day stress as well as impending NFL news. Diana, we appreciate you, friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Diana.
Thanks, guys. Love chatting with you.
Awesome having Diana around here and knowing that if we were ever in a bar fight, she'd be ready to go with us.
Oh, she'd be the first one.
But in a little bit, we've got receipts for Chinne Agumike, because when she's trying to claim that she's not actually about that life, we know better at this point. But coming up next, the Olympics is trying to not claim something, but ban something for the upcoming games in Tokyo. Why, this is almost sure to blow up in their face. Next on ESPN Radio.
Chinne Agumike Jr., the podcast.
Chinne Agumike Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr., Chinne Agumike, and 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. We will get back to your stories about the fight person in your group. Our thanks to Diana Russini, our ESPN NFL analyst, for not only coming on and telling us how the 49ers have managed to masterfully go through a situation with their quarterback room, unlike the Green Bay Packers, but also about having to deal with the fighter in your group of friends, or in some instances, being the fighter, Chinne.
Yeah, did we determine where you fell on that spectrum?
So I was never really one that wanted to get into a fight. I always said, Chinne, especially using football players as an example, if you look at like tight end linebacker bodies, those tend to be, when you're out at night and everyone's a little drunk, those tend to be the ones that look like a challenge to people. Once you get to like offensive and defensive interior linemen, the guys that are like 6'4", 6'5", 300 plus pounds, that's a deterrent. No one wants to do that because it's too much time.
I feel like you would try to be peacemaker until something pops off and then you're in the middle of it.
So. Yes, more or less the exact description that you just got there. So 888-729-3776. We want to hear your stories about having to deal with the fight person in your group. But Chinne, before we get to any more of that, I thought this was a really interesting headline out of the Olympics. We know the Tokyo Games are supposed to be coming up this summer. They got pushed back after last year. And we heard back in April about the Olympics and their position, one that they've maintained for a long time, on political, religious, or any other type of demonstrations of protest at the Games. And it's now gone a step further. The International Olympic Committee said specifically that the slogan Black Lives Matter will be banned from athlete apparel at the Summer Olympics. It's part of that longstanding ban on different types of demonstrations. More generic words like peace, respect, solidarity, inclusion, and equality will be allowed on t-shirts. Chiné, in a year where we've seen protests around certain things, I think a lot more normalized than in years ago when we were dealing with this in the NFL and the NBA, how surprised are you that the IOC is putting the target on their back like this?
Not surprised at all, just because they're only around in this grand scale of the Olympics every 4 years. So it's not like people are holding them accountable each and every day. Their product is on the line as a whole each and every day, the same way we see players negotiating their own spaces here with the NBA, the WNBA, and every league that's going on as a continuity in that conversation. I will say this, Junior. A lot of people that misunderstand the purpose of athletes being activists and the NBA, when coming back, wanted Black Lives Matter on the court, or the WNBA players having those on their t-shirts. The way that we judge the rhetoric by trying to tone it down sort of shows that you miss this in general. If you're putting your energy towards, well, you can or cannot do this, then are you doing the work to understanding why we feel compelled to have that conversation right now, or use your platform in that moment to advocate for others? A lot of times the energy goes to the wrong places, and I think this is the IOC falling into that trap.
It is. And Chiné, I think what falling into that trap does is just make it a more, I think, fertile ground for this kind of protest, yep. Right? Like, the one thing that we said in this last year when it came to some of the environments where we were seeing protest is, if there's not some resistance, if it's not making people uncomfortable, maybe it's not quite as effective when everyone's accepted it and we sing kumbaya on some of this. I mean, we go all the way back to, like, the number one example that people trot out when this conversation comes up is Tommy Smith and John Carlos putting up Black Power fists on the medal stand. Like, they got sent home from the 68 Olympics after that. Like, they got the exact treatment that athletes are going to face now. And both of them, you've seen quotes from them saying that the medals, all that experience, like, it's so secondary to the conversation and the legacy they were a part of. And it seems like, Chiné, that now the point most athletes are at where they've said, no, you're going to listen to my message no matter what, I'd have to imagine there's more than a few that look at this opportunity to say, with this stage that I only get once every 4 years, I'm going to make you listen to me, and that legacy will last far longer, perhaps, than anything I can do in an athletic uniform.
Exactly, and I think that's why when you bring up the fact that the IOC Athletes Commission, which was, you know, they have a Rule 50 of the Olympic Charter that said more than two-thirds of about 3,500 replies, like, so about 70% of athletes polled said that they did not think it was appropriate. But for that portion, there's a whole one-third that think it is important. And speaking of John Carlos and everyone that went through that experience, it just really, it just reminds you that, like, in those isolated instances, that was one person. Now we're getting to a third. You know, that number is growing. It's not going backwards. And so, like you said, when it comes to fertile ground, it's almost like a child telling a child, don't touch the stove when it's hot. They won't learn until they touch it. And so when you say, use these words or don't use this slogan, that empowers and emboldens people to say, like, all right, they still don't get it, so this is more important for me to do.
Yeah, I think that's just it, is we've seen so many spaces where, and we get reminded of this every once in a while. We had all the protests going on inside bubbles, and then a couple MLS teams started going and playing in front of fans, and we saw garbage getting thrown on the field. We saw people getting booed. We got a reminder of what the outside world feels about a lot of this. And the Olympic stage that we know is international competition, and that's why all these things get ratcheted up, because you're dealing with multiple countries in this. That certainly seems like another area where we're getting reminded, all right, not everyone wants to have this conversation, but if there's enough motivated athletes, that might not be a choice that they get, and this might now be seen as an opportunity to go out and be able to spread that message in a place where, man, you're going to have eyes on you, because we know the Olympics, if nothing else, is going to be a premier event for eyeballs, as it always is, people consuming that, not just here, but all over the world. Now,
yeah.
888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. A very different note if you want to get at us with your fight friend stories. 888-SAY-ESPN. Feel free to go ahead and do that. But coming up next, we'll tap back into best and worst case scenarios for some of the premier quarterback situations in the NFL. Coming up next on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.
Thanks for listening to Jhené and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.